Welcome to a new episode of the China Flexpat Podcast. And this episode is really unique as we have a Chinese flexpat working in my home country, Germany. And this is Zoe, who is an expert in international interpretation. And I'm so happy to have her on the show today. Welcome, Zoe.
I'm Zoe. I'm a conference interpreter for Chinese, English and German. I'm currently based in Bonn, Germany. I mainly help businesses and international organizations communicate with their audience or their customers or their clients. I've been traveling around the world for over a decade, I'd say. I was born in China and then I moved to Singapore when I was 15. Later I moved to the UK and the US, and now I'm in Germany. I first visited Europe in 2014. At that time, I was still in Singapore in high school. I was really impressed by the multilingualism in Europe. A lot of people that I met spoke like at least three languages or so. And I'm really, really passionate about learning foreign languages. So I thought, well, Europe must be the place for me. So I decided to go to university in London.
How did you make sure you get into a real European surrounding and not surround yourself with Chinese people all the time?
I guess because of the major that I pick, German and English. Try finding Chinese students there. I was like basically surrounded by Europeans. Well, I did German and English, so part of it. I was learning the German language and the German culture. So we had to spend a year in Germany. I just really enjoyed it, speaking the language, learning the language, and also the culture. I'm also very interested in philosophy and history and music. So I think, well, Germany is perhaps the place to be. When I went to Germany in my third year, because of the Erasmus program, I deliberately picked to do an internship in Germany. A lot of other people decided to attend a university in Germany, and they will be surrounded by also people doing Erasmus. But with the internship, I got exposed to, I guess, the real working culture in Germany. Basically, that was like how I forced myself to learn more German, speak more German, and get to know the culture.
Zoe, you seem so international. So how did you do that as a Chinese person going abroad, really to become an international person?
I guess because I left China when I was quite young. So when I was 15, so I say half of my education was done in China and half of it done abroad, also in different countries. So I was influenced by different cultures. And also because I didn't really go abroad with my family. I was like basically on my own most of the time. I had to learn to cope with and navigate different cultures. I think the best way to do that is to absorb different cultures and just be comfortable in different cultures. When we look at cross-border communication, we shouldn't think about it as an either or. It's not either German or Chinese. It's both all at the same time. And we need to have the humility to learn from different cultures, from different people, and never take things for granted.
How would you describe the challenge of a professional interpreter?
Most of the clients actually have no idea of what we actually do. So they either believe that what we do is magic, because for simultaneous interpreting, we have to speak and listen at the same time. They think that's, well, humanly impossible. But for other clients, they might think that we are just like replacing a word in one language with an equivalent in another language. Like we are just a machine. And we can be replaced by a machine. And they only see us or hear us during a meeting when we actually interpret. But they don't really see the time and effort that we spend in preparing for those meetings. I say at least 50% of interpreting is preparation. The biggest challenge is to make a client understand what we actually do and how we actually do our job well, because we really need their assistance as well. We work as teams.
Zoe, we are flexpats. We want to make money doing something we really enjoy. So how do you do that? How do you negotiate your deals and reach a really substantial amount of fees so that you can get a good income?
You need to believe in yourself. you need to trust your own ability. If you have this mentality, then you will be able to think that I deserve to be paid well. Then you will be able to ask the price that you actually want, because I think that's the first step of negotiation. We have to put the number on the table first. And I think that's especially very important from a freelancer's point of view, because I'm not an employee. That's a bit different from negotiating perhaps with your employers. As I've said, interpreting is teamwork. We've got to team up with our clients. We also have to team up with other interpreters. Networking with colleagues is really important to make sure that there's actually a job coming to me. It's important to diversify and not just do one thing. You shouldn't put all the eggs in one basket.
Now, I'm a German working in China and you're a Chinese working in Germany. Who do you prefer, German customers or Chinese customers?
I work with both German clients and Chinese clients, as well as American clients and British clients. There are pros and cons to all of them. And when I say pros and cons, I say with Chinese clients, the communication is definitely faster. I can get an answer faster, even if it's a no. That saves me a lot of time. Well, we communicate over WeChat. You all know that. With German clients, the good thing is that I get less pushback on my rates because I'm in the German market, so they are more acceptable to my rates. But with Chinese clients, things are a bit different. The Chinese market works differently, I say. We are not machines. We have our maximum capacity. We need to work in pairs. Some clients, especially I think on the Chinese side, will assume that one interpreter is enough. But actually, that's not the case, because when we get tired, we make mistakes. And the scariest thing is that we don't even realize that we make mistakes, because we get just so tired. So I think that's the part, that's what we call client education, that we need to have on both sides.
Sorry, you said before you came to Europe when you were very young, so you're still very young. So how do you build trust with your customers, both in Europe and in China?
I'd say all clients want to know that I am a qualified interpreter. So I need to show them my degree in conference interpretation. For European clients, I think they also value this professional image. So I think it's very important to have your website, your own professional website, not just a LinkedIn profile. This might be a bit different in China. At least in my interaction with Chinese clients, they want to maybe have a voice call with you on WeChat. They want to hear your voice. I think that's completely valid, because for interpreters, our voice is probably the most important instrument. Yeah. And sometimes German clients also want me to just join a call and just like check if I can actually do my job. That's also a way of establishing human connection, because I think once you hear the voice of someone, you can kind of sense the personality that you can't really see from just emails or text messages. And another way of building trust, especially with German or European clients, is that especially for interpreters, we need to join professional associations. And sometimes they do look for interpreters on the website of professional associations. But that's not really the case in China, because I know the professional associations in China aren't really that strong.
But if you're based in Europe and you're Chinese, then I would expect that your ability to translate, especially from English to Chinese, is much better than a German or a British person. But would they still trust you the same way that they would trust the British or the German person?
If I do it, say, from English into Chinese, because I'm a Chinese native speaker, the output, the Chinese, will be very good, if not perfect. The first step of interpretation is actually understanding. You need to understand the original message first. From that point of view, I actually have an advantage as compared to non-native Chinese speakers. The Chinese language is more context dependent. I guess it's kind of more cultural dependent as well, because China is almost the only country that speaks Chinese mainly. But with English, a lot of time you don't really get very British expressions or American expressions. Sometimes it's like, well, international English. From that point of view, I don't think that's a disadvantage for me. And the second thing that you talked about, trust. Interpreters work in pair. I can just bring on another interpreter who's a native speaker of English and whose second language is Chinese, and we can just like balance it out. And I think that will also make the client feel reassured.
Zoe, how do you negotiate your fees, and what do you do if you don't like an offer which is presented to you?
So basically, there are two different scenarios. The first one is that whatever is offered to me is still kind of within my range and there is room for negotiation. So I'll still try to hold on to my original proposal and I'll explain why I deserve to be paid that much. And the second scenario is where the discrepancy between what is offered to me and my expectation is too big. I'll just say the magical word, no. If I charge a rate that is too low, then I wouldn't be able to work with other colleagues who charge a higher fee. And it's also going to be very difficult for me to raise my rate, first with a client, and second, once those colleagues know that I actually accept those low fees, they wouldn't want to work with me. That's really not a good idea to lower my rates.
If you work for customers in China, did you feel that there is a different price level in China, and how do you react to that?
The two markets are quite different. I'm not saying that, well, Chinese interpreters in China charge a lower fee than interpreters here in Germany. I know some of them actually charge a higher fee, but I also know that a lot of them charge a lower fee, so it really depends. If it's a Chinese agency approaching me, then the fee is usually going to be quite low. So that falls into the second scenario where I mostly just say no. But with Chinese direct clients, that's not always the case. They will be able to accept the fee that I charge, which is slightly higher than what is offered on the market in China, because at least in Germany, in Europe, there's only a day rate. So we don't charge by the hour, we charge by day. I guess they do value the service that I can provide them.
If you were ever to return to China, and we call this returnee, how do you call this in Chinese?
Hai gui, I think, probably a sea turtle.
If you were ever to do that, do you think you can position yourself just like I position myself, like an international professional working in China asking for a German salary?
It's really about the quality that the company is looking for, right? Well, unless a company is actually specifically looking for expat with a German passport, that is not for me. But if a company is looking for the quality of an expat, then I do think that I possess those qualities. If I'm talking about communication skills, cross-cultural skills, and experience with living in different countries and working in different countries, I think that's the knowledge that and insights that I can also bring to companies in China. I think you need to imagine the life that you want to have. It's not just about jobs. So I think imagine the life you want to have and believe that you deserve it, and then explore different opportunities. So not just look at big internet companies in China, explore other different options and name the price that you want, because really it doesn't hurt to ask.
And how can young professionals, especially Chinese young professionals, how can they find information about working in Europe and then about returning to China?
Well, there are lots of resources online. Your podcast is definitely one. And when I wanted to move to Germany, I contacted people directly who are actually in Germany. I think the information that you can get from people who are already there is definitely better than what you can find on Google. So perhaps go to LinkedIn and use the location search, and using maybe the company if you want to find someone working for a company, or position if you want to find someone working in a specific position, and just contact them and see whether they would like to have a chat with you, and you can just ask them directly. I think that's really the best way to get real useful information.
Zoe, how did you learn to be a European person, European professional? So how do you make sure once you come back, you're not a Chinese anymore. You're a European and international person. How do you do that?
I'm more like, I see myself as just like me. I'm just myself, not just as a Chinese or just as a European. Rather that I learn from both cultures and I'm familiar with both cultures. So if you want to ask me how I learned the European culture, well, the first thing is that I learned it through formal education and also by living here. If I return to China, I'd say that I probably need to readjust a bit because I know things change so fast in China and things are definitely different from Europe. But I wouldn't say that I'm just European or I'm just Chinese. It's like both, because we're also talking about cross-cultural communication here.
So what are you thankful for looking back on your career?
Well, I'm still at the beginning of my career, but I'm thankful for a lot of people, my family, my friends, my colleagues, and they are, well, my family is very supportive of my decision of being a freelancer, which is kind of, well, surprising for a Chinese family. And my friends are very encouraging, and lots of my colleagues have been supporting me along the way, because without their support, I wouldn't be able to be here.
And what makes you nervous? What could be something which make you change your career, go home?
Health. That's one thing that's quite real and that can change the career. And something that could make me go back home, well, the German immigration office, they can certainly do that.
Is that something what makes you nervous, German immigration office?
At least in Bonn, I think they are relatively nice. I think they're all right. Yeah, but they do have the power to kick me out.
Zoe, thank you so much for coming on the China FlexPad podcast. Vielen Dank und 谢谢 und 再见.
Thank you, Francis, for inviting me. Vielen, vielen Dank. 谢谢大家收听，再见。